today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
In fact, we live in a culture that's compromised. We're lost. So if you try to set your standards out here based upon the average, you're going to be in trouble. Which is why that Scripture teaches us, look to the author and the finisher of your faith. Look to Him. God said, be perfect, for your Father in heaven is perfect. Aim for it, you're not going to hit it. But He says, don't use that as an excuse not to aim for it. Set your sights on Him, lest you be deceived. Now today, He's not talking about the deceived. He's talking to those who would stumble others.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Without a set of standards to follow, how can we judge morality, goodness, or truth? The truth is we can't. Scripture teaches us to look to God for our standards for living so that we will not be led astray. Today, Pastor Troy will show us Jesus' teachings on how we can pursue holiness like children. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 6, with part one of his message entitled, The Attitude of Great Holiness.
We're in Matthew chapter 18, covering verses 6 through 11. Talking about the attitude of the great in the eyes of heaven. What does it look like to be great in the kingdom of heaven? We kind of understand by our culture standards what it means to be great here, successful. Success is in numbers, whether it be money or people and followers and all of those things. That's the world's standard. But what is God's standard? Last week, we covered the first attitude of those who would be considered great in the kingdom of heaven, and that was humility, a genuine humility. Jesus said, unless you're converted and become like one of these children. By the way, He didn't bring an 8 or 10-year-old. It was a toddler. It was a 2-year-old or younger that was there. He said, unless you're converted and become this simple and this dependent on the Lord and not so boastful and in the pursuit of greatness, then you can't even enter heaven. You can't even be a member of the kingdom of heaven unless you're converted and become like this. So like a young child who depends on mom and dad, we're to stop being so independent and become God-dependent, innocent, pure. We need to return to purity and trusting in the Lord. Today, we'll discover a second attitude, and that is holiness. The importance of it. We're not talking about a holier-than-thou kind of attitude. I don't hang out with anyone because I'm holy. But personal holiness, looking at your life and trying to discover what it means to be holy before God and holy to the Lord. Jesus began this discourse, like I said, when the disciples asked Him who would be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And that's what started all of this discussion. Who then will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He takes the child, says, unless you're converted. And now He continues to explain the importance of not only being converted and becoming like a child, and even embracing, receiving a child, not overlooking little children because they're insignificant for the greater people. But today, He speaks about protecting the innocence and the purity and the faith of a child, not stumbling them. If you want to be great, let go of the great things in the world and embrace this attitude, this responsibility in life, which is great in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 6 says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, as He has this example of a toddler here when they've asked the question about being great, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, what is he really concerned about? Is he concerned that we give him a wrong answer? Well, what he's really concerned about is their faith. That's what the Lord is concerned about. is the faith of a child. See, Jesus knows that the faith of a child is easy to mold, easy to influence, easy to shape. Children have faith. They have faith that their parents will provide for them. They have faith that their parents are telling them what's right and what's true and have their best intentions at heart. At least early on, until obviously you start to grow up, you see deception, you see the wrong things in the world. But we're not talking about growing up. We're talking about the child. And the faith of a child is pure. They're willing to believe until someone stumbles them, until someone messes them up. They're willing to believe almost whatever you tell them. When my children were growing up, in fact, I even did this with our dog. You know, some play games like tricking the dog or tricking each other and then scaring them or doing something wrong. And I never really got into those kinds of things because it built sort of a deception. You know, the dog no longer wants to come near you because they don't know, do you really have some baloney for them? Are you going to kick them? You know, so they're like... And I never wanted to deceive in that way. Like, come here, come here. Ah! Tricked him. But then now I really have baloney. I'm going to be nice to you. I never wanted that question in even my dog. I wanted him to know when I said, come here, and I said it in a kind voice, I was going to be kind to him. When I was upset, I'm not fooling there either. I'm upset. So no deception. I also wanted the same for my kids. I don't trick them. I know it's fun. It can be fun in games. This is just my personal conviction. We play jokes. We have fun. But I try not to do major tricks because you always wonder, will they trust you or will you just be a trickster? When life is on the line, will they believe you quick enough or will there be some built-in doubt as to whether you're joking or serious? And so I've been fairly serious with that. We have fun. We have our own ways of having fun, but I don't do a lot of tricking. And children are easy to trick. They're easy to deceive. And the Lord is concerned for them. And he doesn't want them tricked. But he's most concerned, not about tricking them with a piece of candy, but about their faith, things concerning their faith. Because it seems that he knows that if a child... An innocent, pure child, if he is directed or she is directed and nurtured in her faith, she will have no problem. He will have no problem believing in Jesus Christ. But there's a deceiver and there are those who've been deceived who pass on that deception and messes up people, messes up children, messes them up so that they grow up lost and hurting. Doing things, allowing things in their lives that should never be there. It's when we get older that we start getting mad at God. Someone does us wrong, we blame God. Maybe we blame God because it was someone in the church. And so we get upset with the whole idea of religion. Is it even real? Is God even there? And we are stumbling children. We're stumbling others. And we pass that down to our children, the way we live our lives, what we consider important. You know, I hear so many parents whose children go wayward, saying, well, we did everything right. We were in church and we did all of this. But the truth is, sure, kids do make their own decisions. But here's the truth. The truth is, they're also given a lot of mixed signals. And let me tell you something about mixed signals. If you compromise at all, then when they compromise, their compromise is based upon your life, not perfection. And so they're going to compromise just a little more. So their compromise is based upon you being the ideal. And now they're compromised even more. And so you may be doing or think you're doing a great job. But what you don't realize is you're next to a very, very steep cliff, one that your children are way too close to now. God knows that we are in a holy war. Not the jihad. But there is a deceiver who maybe that deceiver cannot get to you as an adult right now. He can compromise you just enough that he can get to that second generation, compromise them a little bit more, and so on. In fact, we live in a culture that's compromised. We're lost. So if you try to set your standards out here based upon the average, you're going to be in trouble. Which is why that Scripture teaches us, look to the author and the finisher of your faith. Look to Him. God said, be perfect, for your Father in heaven is perfect. Aim for it, you're not going to hit it. But He says, don't use that as an excuse not to aim for it. Set your sights on Him, lest you be deceived. Now today, He's not talking about the deceived. He's talking to those who would stumble others. Children are not the problem. In fact, they are the most responsive to the gospel message. You listen to those who've gone out and done crusades, and they'll do an event for children, and the children have no problem turning to the Lord or wanting Him. I want Him. He sounds awesome. But adults, there's just a lot of skepticism. I don't know. I've seen it. I've experienced this. How do we know where that money's going? How do we know that? And there's just so much going around in the adult mind. So we're to become like those children. And today we're learning we are not to stumble those children. In fact, we need to look into ourselves for personal holiness so that we set the standard for them. There were a couple of words for millstone. There was the small handheld variety, where you would grind just enough for a day's worth of bread and make your bread. But then there was the large stone, had the little hole in it and a piece of wood, and then the oxen would be on the other side, and they would grind large portions of wheat or grain or whatever. The word used here is for the large millstone, not the little one, and says that it would be better that, you know, you had a millstone tied and you were cast in the deepest part of the sea. Notice he doesn't say this will happen to that person, but it would be better for that person if this happened. Now, that's pretty bad. To have a millstone tied, you know what the result is. One of the worst types of death is probably drowning because of the panic and everything involved. You can't breathe. You can't grasp. It's like being buried alive, but you're in the water. So it's not a very pleasant death, and that's better than what happens to those who would stumble. And here's the idea. It is a very serious thing in the eyes of God for an adult to stumble or misguide the faith of a child in Christ. In fact, it is the responsibility given by God to the adult, to the parents, to pass on and encourage purity and faithfulness and faith in God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, God told His people, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength," everything. Hey, anything less than that, you're already compromising and you're already passing that on to the next generation. But there was more. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is to consume your life." Rather than passing down all these other tidbits and life lessons and all these other things, which are informational and experience, and okay, this ought to consume everything. Passing down a love for God, a faith in the Lord. Why are there so many who are lost today? Because obviously there are more who are lost than are found, than are saved. Well, the answer is simple. Adults didn't do their part. That's the answer. Scripture says that the wages of sin is death. Not only did death enter the world and we would eventually die, but we also pass down tendencies into our children that lead to death. So we're passing down death as well. Not only physically that we're going to die and they're physically going to die, but we're passing down habits and sinfulness and selfishness and these kinds of attitudes that they watch and learn and embrace that also lead toward death, sin and death. So it's being passed on. Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Now that's a proverb. It's not like, if you do this, this is a command. It will not happen. But what this means is we are to be busy about setting an example for and instilling discipline in children to train them up in the ways of what? Not the world, not the economy, not what dad did and mom did, but in the ways of the Lord. Because there are some things that dad did and mom did that were wrong. This world that we live in today is extremely busy. And our culture in particular, because of the wealth that we have, oh man, we are all over the place. We're not talking daily about the Lord. We're talking about piano lessons. What about the game you got? What about this? We got to go to this event. We got to get this thing done. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do that. We got to. And let's just trust the Lord for it all. And our kids are not learning the priority of the Lord today. This is why so many are lost. This is why so many can go to church and love Jesus and have not much to do with him outside of church. Because we are not doing our part, the adults. If you choose to embrace the things of the world, if you choose to embrace sin, you're going to pass on less than a commitment to the Lord. In fact, you're going to pass on death, those things that might destroy. Look what he goes on to say, verse 7. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. He's saying, you know, I know that offenses are going to come because it's a fallen world. You can't help but look around in this world and see things that will stumble. And because of sin and sinfulness and those who embrace sin, you're going to run into those who will mess up the life of a child. You're going to run into these things. You're going to run into a guy who says, I'm going to get in my car and drive drunk no matter what. And he's going to kill somebody. So things are going to happen, but woe to the one through whom they come. Woe. That's not a good word. Why woe? Because they will be held accountable. They'll be held responsible. As we consider the stumbling of children, I want you to consider the different influencers that we have in our society today, those who have a responsibility. And the first and most obvious is the parents. Parents, grandparents, family, those influencers. I heard the story about some parents who were training up their child to be, well, gender neutral. Because we don't know. We don't know if you're going to be homosexual. We don't know if you're going to be this or that. We just don't know. And so their little son, they would dress him up in pink sometimes with a little tutu and, you know, just, we don't know what you're going to be. You know, you just be what you're created to be. You be what you're going to be. And I'll tell you, that's confusing for a kid. Very. That's stumbling. God is not pleased with that. And yet it's happening all over the place. Passing down these ideas that we embrace, so I want to pass it on to my kids, that are worldly and wrong. You know, church, some look to the church to be the salvation of kids. We wonder why I took my kids to church, but they walked away. And the reason is because the 1 hour that they're at church a week is not enough. They're looking at the home life, the habits, the attitudes, what's important in the home. And that weighs more than the 1 hour in church, sure. Big major things can happen. They can be inspired, influenced. One day after hitting rock bottom, they may look back at that teacher in the church who loved them. They say, I need to get to church. And it can be a moment that inspires, but to influence the course of that child's life, that's in the home. That's on the parents. You can't bring them in once a week or even twice a week and expect that there's going to be a big difference. They may like it. They may love it. They socialize with other kids. It's a controlled environment. They do learn the Bible. They learn about the love of God. We want to make sure we're not just babysitting kids. We want to make sure we're instructing them at their level, the Word of God, because it alone is the hope of a future. The parents are the number one influencers, and yet the parents are passing on things that stumble kids, stumble their own kids. How about the school system? You talk about an influencer. If your children are in the public school system at all, they're out of your hands most of the day too. And they're in the public school system where they learn things like evolution as fact. Even though it's the theory of evolution, it's taught as if it's fact. Creation? Uh-uh. We don't talk about that. That's not a view of how the world came about. That's religion. So we can't include that. And so they teach them evolution as if it's fact. More than that, and this goes beyond when I grew up in school, they're bringing into the school the idea of alternative lifestyles. And they didn't do that when I was a kid. It wasn't their job to teach me morally. It was their job to teach me reading, writing, arithmetic. School. Not to raise me or to teach me the morals of life. And yet today we have a school system that feels it's their job to do that. And they're bringing it in. They're teaching about alternative lifestyles. They're teaching sex education to the kids. And let me tell you, abstinence is not on the agenda. They don't think abstinence is even a possibility. No, they can't. And the reason they don't think the children can abstain is because they put us in a category like we're animals. That's what evolution teaches us. So we're training them up like they're animals, and we expect them to act any different than that when they grow up. This is the influence that's going into our children now. They're being raised like animals, and we can't expect anything less. You know, Charles Spurgeon, he was around when this idea of evolution first started taking off. And Charles Spurgeon, when he heard about the evolutionary theory, he said, "This is so unbelievable. This is such nonsense that it's going to come and go within 20 years. It'll be so disproved." Guess what? It's never been proven, but it hasn't gone away. They're still trying to find the proof, but they're not giving up on it because they don't want the alternative. It's about moving away from moral authority, from the Lord, and becoming God in your own eyes. It's the sin of the fall. You can be like God, knowing good and evil. And so we're trying to do that. Speaking of being like God, another great influence in the world is government. The government has a strong influence. They decide what gets on television. They decide the messages that are come through. They determine the filtering. You know, the media, we think we're informed, but I can tell you something. We're very blessed here, but they can also control what you're thinking about, what you think should be consuming your conversations also, because they can control the media. And in nations where we don't have the system of checks and balances like we currently do, and I say currently do, media is very manipulative. The government lets out what they want, and you hear what they want. And you wonder why certain people hate Americans or hate others. It's because that's what they're getting fed. And so we've got to be very careful, because the government is able to influence. Any nation that would discourage or prevent children from having faith in Jesus Christ is robbing that child of the only real hope in the world and the only thing that is really true. The tendency of human government, corrupt human government, is to cause the people to depend on them, is to line their pocketbooks. I'm not talking about our government. I'm talking about the tendency of corrupt government governing, is to line their pocketbooks, to build their power, to build their authority, and cause the people to depend upon them.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew, here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we'd like to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard is exactly what you're looking for in a church. Then please join us. You can find our service times for Sunday morning worship and our midweek Bible studies at our website. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. Again, for more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll be able to listen to or download any of our messages, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to say thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
Somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.